Your salespeople should be allowed to be who they want to be, who they are. And the same is true in marketing. The same is true for CEOs. Allow yourself to just take some of those boundaries down, some of those walls of formality, because we are in an anti-formal state right now.
Every single message you deliver is really a sales call. Either you are selling or being sold. Salespeople love to brag about their skills. And the truth is, your success in closing sales depends on your skills, your abilities, and finding the right training. And the great news is, you have come to the right place here at the How to Sell Show with your hosts, Dale Bell and Scott Silvenbell. And be sure to join the party at howtosell.live and download your copy of The 10 Common Mistakes Salespeople Make.
All right, so I'm sitting here with my good friend, Dr. Kevin Hogan, and I figured, you know what? People take a look at influence the wrong way. There's a lot to learn from politicians.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it that companies and salespeople can learn from politicians? We'll start here and we'll funnel down.
Let's start with some of the people that we know that are running for office right now.
Sure.
Now, 5 years from now, nobody's going to remember the name Sanders and nobody's going to remember the name Cruz. But if you look at somebody like Bernie Sanders, let's start with him for a second.
Okay.
Bernie Sanders, somehow, how did he get from absolute anonymity to being the person who, if the Democratic Party was running a legitimate campaign, if he actually was all based on the votes, he would likely become the nominee. But they don't run it that way in the Democratic Party. There's super delegates and stuff like that, so it doesn't work. So how does this guy get so good? He's not charismatic necessarily, but what he does is the same thing that Donald Trump does, and we'll come to Trump in a minute, but Bernie Sanders resonates with people. Now, that's a really intuitive kind of a word, right? Like,
sure.
What does resonate mean?
Yeah.
So when you're looking at somebody, somebody's talking to you, there's certain ways you can know that they feel better, okay, for example, than other people. So if I say, well, Scott, that's a really fascinating question. Let me share with you four specific reasons. Versus, hey, man, I got some really cool stuff for you.
Sure.
Let me show you three things that I think will be cool. You feel the difference? One way feels a little bit more genuine. It's softer. It's not rehearsed. It's not well thought out. It's just like an everyday conversation.
Sure.
Bernie Sanders is just saying what he feels in the moment. So if I were just to say that I was going to run for office, I would say I don't want Hillary Clinton as president because I think she would be the disaster of all time, even next to our last 16 years. Okay? And if I were to look at Bernie Sanders, I'd say, I don't want that kind of policy in my country. That's terrifying to me. And I would look at Cruz and I'd go, well, he's closer to what I think, although I wonder about the man. There's something about him that bothers me a little bit. And I look at Trump and I love Donald Trump, always have. But as my president, I don't know. I mean, I love you, Donald, but I got to think about it, you know? It's like I'm not sure because I actually don't know that much about the political, where he sits on the landscape as far as things that matter to me, okay? So let's go back to Bernie Sanders then. So Sanders is there, and he talks to you in a very straightforward way. He's not a jerk, very rarely. He usually comes across. He gets mad about issues. I don't like the way the campaign finance is going on. I don't like reform. I don't like... And he'll tell you. And when people say what they don't like, it resonates with us. We tend to bond to candidates when they say they don't like something, and then we don't like it. That's what really bonds us together. So if you think about Trump and Sanders, Trump is now the Republican. He's going to be... In theory, he should be the Republican nominee for president, if all goes the way the world should. The Republican Party is depressed about this, of course, because he's not part of the establishment, yeah. And they're concerned. But nevertheless, he is really the nominee of the people. Why? It's because he does the same thing that Bernie Sanders does, which is he just speaks his mind. He's just like your mom was, just like your dad was. It's like, honey, go and do this, go do that. I don't care about that. I'm not even interested. That's a disaster. What, your room is a disaster area. That's Donald Trump, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's just talking like your mom and dad. And that's why he resonates with so much of the society. Now, the problem with a Trump is that Latinos aren't going to like him so much because of the wall, right?
Sure.
And so he hasn't politically... When he started the presidential campaign, he made certain things important to him, all right? The wall was one of those things. But as Hillary Clinton well knows, the wall is probably not a great idea if you want to get elected as president. Why? Because you're getting rid of about 4 to 5% of your vote, Well, 4 to 5% in a 50-50 vote, and that's what it really is in the United States, 50% Republican, 50% Democrat, or close to one of those two, you give away 4%, which would be the Latino vote, and you've lost the election. And so I suspect that what you'll see is just because of identity, the concept of identity, where the people that we, it's not that we believe that Hillary's better than Cruz or Sanders, but it's who we identify with more. And so when I'm a Latino person and I say, you know, Donald Trump has basically said they're going to hook up a wall to Mexico, which leads to Central America, somewhere down there is my family, right? That's 8 million people. So from an influence perspective, if I were talking to him a year ago, I would have said, here's what I want you to do. I need you to cap, because I am consulting on a campaign right now for the House, okay? And it's a conservative that's running. I suspect he'll win. I'm pretty sure he'll win. We won't know until that day.
Sure.
But one of the things we want to make sure is that we get 51%. And so there's certain people that you can't knock. There's always the hardcore Republican, the hardcore Democrat, and there's about 20% in the middle. Where are these folks going to go? And when you're an influencer, your job is to capture the people in the middle. These people will always go with you. These will always go against you. They are not important. The equation is right here in influence. How do I capture this market? This market is the Latino. This market is the African-American. This market is the fundamentalist Christian who's not happy to have Donald Trump as the candidate, who would much rather have somebody like a Rand Paul, for example, a Tea Party candidate. And that's over here, too. So I would say you need to resonate with things that you don't like that are similar to things that these other people don't like. I wouldn't necessarily make campaign issues say, oh, yeah, I want to not have a wall. I wouldn't do that. I would just say, I think it's disgusting the way that Latinos have been treated. Now, right there, that person is more likely to capture a Latino vote. So I would make sure that my disgust and irritation were crystal clear to every single person who's going to the polls. I'm not going to talk about a wall. I don't want to talk about it. That's Congress's decision. This is what I would tell Donald Trump to say. That's what a year ago. Today, you can't fix it, so he has to stick with his wall.
Yeah.
Whether it's the right thing or the wrong thing, I have no idea. I don't get paid for stuff like that. But those are the kind of little tiny things that I would have recommended that candidate to do. If I were Bernie Sanders, he can't possibly win no matter what. The Democratic Party is slanted so heavily against other than party candidates that as much as I love Bernie Sanders as a person, not politically, just sharing, because it doesn't work in my world. But as far as an influencer, he's real. And we've learned a lot this election. We got 35% of the people like Donald Trump, 35% like Bernie Sanders. That's 70% of real people, and the other two are 30%. That's what's really happening out there. We're attaching more to real. Facebook, Twitter, all this stuff. We want to get to know people, and Trump uses Twitter. He talks to the populace. He shares information. Bernie Sanders is always in the news telling his version of the truth. And I use that in a very positive way. I don't mean that in a negative way. Yeah. This is what he really believes. Whereas you know that Cruz and Clinton are rehearsed. They have party line politics that they have to match. So that's sort of the big picture, the big scope of our campaign as we're sitting on it right now.
And if we take that information and turn it, like, how does a salesperson use that?
Well, really important, because in your biggest market, which would be furnace, heating, air, that kind of stuff, HVAC, if you walk in the door, you see whoever's sign is in the front lawn, you know, all right? And if you say, can you believe what Clinton did today? Did you see that? If that person has a Cruz sign, I'm telling you, they A, saw it, B, they didn't like it. And when your irritation alone at Clinton is enough to make the sale. He doesn't even have to ask for the sale. All he's got to do is say, yeah, we got to get that furnace replaced back there. And it's done, because the person identifies with you and resonates with you. So if you have data, unquestionably correct information about what the person believes about, say, a political candidate, for example, now that we're there, then you can, and if you just state your feelings about the opposite side, somebody on the opposite side, that person is going to bond to you. An identification is going to hit. That's probably the most powerful connector that you're going to get. The other thing is to think in advance, if you can. Like when Trump started to be in the election, for example, we assumed he was sort of going in more as a way to stir up waters a little bit, a way to... It didn't come across as if he really was certain he wanted to be the president, okay? So... In in his communication, it all started out as so real that we just didn't believe it was political. And now that we're there, we learned that he's there because he's real. So your salespeople, for example, the folks that you train, if they can walk in the door and say, you know, instead of, "Hi, Mr. Bell, my name is Kevin Hogan. It's a pleasure to see you today. How is the sunshine, you know, coming in on your windows today?" Okay? Versus, "Hey, man, it's a really nice day out there. It's pretty cool. Have you been out today yet? It's good." You know, I mean, just more real. Being more real this year and going forward into the future is going to be an important thing. We get so rehearsed. Rehearsal is important.
Sure.
And if everybody who's in theater knows that. If you're in television, if you're in movies, you know rehearsal is critical. But you also have to have that "who are you" come out, you know. And so your salespeople should be allowed to be who they want to be, who they are. And the same is true in marketing. The same is true for CEOs. Allow yourself to just take some of those boundaries down, some of those walls of formality, because we are in an anti-formal state right now. We are in a Facebook era where we have a right for our opinions, mm-hmm. and we're real people because we believe real stuff. The old establishment way of thinking is reducing and reducing as time goes on. For your salespeople, allow them to be more themselves. In other words, sure, they have to follow your code of conduct, they have to follow your ethics, they have to do business properly. Never change any of those things. But when you're communicating your message, let them do it in a more relaxed way. Trump, Sanders, those two. That's what America's really been voting for. And so in the United States of America, this is the change that's happening, probably mostly because of the internet and how we communicate with people. We used to just go with the party, and it was almost no chance for anybody else. But clearly this year has shown us the world is changing, and this is not going to switch ever back. It's not ever going back to establishment. It's going to be people who are anti-establishment are going to really win nowadays. Same thing is true with salespeople. People who don't like the establishment are going to win more than they're going to lose. In the sales process, yeah, I'm not too thrilled with Sanders. That dude, man, he's a nice guy, but I've read socialist books like by Karl Marx that were less, you know, challenging than his proposed policies. In my mind, okay, in my mind. And so that's how you want to communicate if you can. Be more real. That's the bottom line.
Can we talk about damage control? Like, you know, politicians usually say something wrong. This happens in the world of business. You know, I might say something wrong. What's the right way to deal with that?
Damage control is really hard. I've had to do it myself. Everybody has in business.
Yeah.
Everybody does. And the most impressive story that I experienced was brutal. I was in Poland. I was giving a press conference. I had 30, 40 media in the room, and they had a copy of my book, Covert Persuasion. And Covert Persuasion is basically a book that shows you how to utilize persuasive techniques in order to sort of like bend a mind and turn it around. But it's all within the context of ethics, okay? But there was mistranslations in the book that made it sound like I was saying you should manipulate the person, and they're, what matters to you is really important, and what matters to them is not important. There was a graph. The graph was flipped. That's not how I wrote it. I had it flipped, but it got flipped in the editing process. And so they said, "How is it that you believe that it's okay to treat the client poorly as long as you're being treated well yourself?" And I said, "I didn't say that. I would never say that." And they showed me the book and they showed me the graph, and I had my translator, and she looked at me and she said, "That's what it says." And I'm like, "I didn't write that." Nobody believed it. I was so stunned in the moment. So I said, "Look, here's the thing. I need you to understand who I am. I need you guys to go back to the American website. I need you to know that if I would have said that, I would have been evil, horrific, and wrong. And by the way, it doesn't mean the publisher got it right. My publisher might have printed it wrong and I didn't even catch it. But here's the thing. I don't believe that. It's ultimately my fault. Why? Because when the final book came through, I did have to approve it. So with my American publisher, my error, my blunder, if it came out that way. But here's the thing. You have a translation of something that came from America. If that's over there, I can't read Polish. I speak 25 words in 10 sentences. That's it. And so I do apologize. You know, we do have a good publisher here. We love the publisher. They're great people. And it's just an error. And I need you to accept that. And I literally said, "Do you believe me?" And half of them did not. And I said, "How would you believe me? What do I have to do? Because I'm just telling you exactly what the reality is." And so I got there, like, well, you, and then the translators would say, "Well, you have to show us that you really don't believe that." And so I told stories about people that I helped where it had no benefit to me. People that I had done value for it, because I found out what was important to them. So the most important thing is to say that you're sorry. Just start there.
This is like the toolkit. First off, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, I can't believe that happened. And then you have, for what you can take responsibility for legitimately, you should take responsibility. The American version, nothing I can do about it. I blew it. I can't go back and change history. I promise you, this will not happen again. That does not represent my viewpoint, and I feel horrible about that. And you should take responsibility for everything that's factually your fault. And as Ronald Reagan came, he basically said, whenever anything went wrong, he says, I accept full responsibility. I accept full responsibility. And I learned that in the 80s, that really that's the smartest thing you can do as a person, is just take full responsibility. If somebody screws up, that's your employee, your employee's child, your employee's child's best friend. You know what? Ultimately, it's my responsibility. And if you don't think it's your responsibility, ask the guy's husband or wife, and they'll tell you that it's your responsibility, your fault, okay? So just accept responsibility for everything you possibly can. And the things that are up for grabs, the things in the middle that we're really not sure about, then don't say that, but say, this is what I do believe. This is what I do think. And you should do this really quickly, because bad news travels at light speed and good news travels only at the speed of sound.
True.
Okay? So bad news, Kevin Hogan's a bad person because he believes this and this. And I don't even like saying things that I've been accused of, right? You know, because I didn't write it, I didn't say it, I don't even think it. But it does happen, and I've seen misquotes. So you always say, I'm sorry that that happened. I can't believe it. I owe you a great apology, and I apologize.
And it's that's that easy.
That fact. Speed is the
deal.
Speed, and I'm sorry. I can't believe it happened. I apologize. Ultimately, the responsibility lies with me. This is the fact.
With conviction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reality. Yeah. Yeah. Be real.
What else can from salespeople and business owners learn from politicians?
As I look at Sanders and Trump this year, we know that they have made it to where they are by being angry with the way that things are. We've seen a lot. We've seen Trump say things like, the economy's a disaster. Now, that's arguable, right? Stock market's at an all-time high. All right? That's true. That's a fact.
Yep.
All right? That's just a fact.
It is.
All right? So in that sense, I couldn't agree with that necessarily, okay? We've also seen him say things like, you know, our current administration's a disaster. Well, I would certainly agree with that. I would have no problem, okay? All right? And so was the previous administration, actually. So we can learn from politicians that people latch on to negative information much faster and much more firmly than they do positive information. Oh, this is a really sweet thing we should do for, you know, helping people with AIDS or helping people with sickle cell anemia or some other thing. I mean, those kind of messages don't sell. What sells is Carly Fiorina, disaster. The woman's a disaster. That's what sold. By the way, it also increased her poll ratings for a good solid month. This is a really important lesson.
Okay.
When you're mentioning your company, for example, services a lot of people all over the Sacramento area, up in California, and you don't ever want to talk negatively about the competition. Don't mention their name, because what Donald Trump did, first of all, he was probably right to say what he did for his campaign, but he did give a huge boost.
Sure.
That Carly Fiorina went from 2.5% to 11% in the polls in 1 week. This shows you, by the way, that we're not making decisions logically, are we? If this woman was not a good candidate a month ago, she's not a good candidate today because somebody said something negative about her. So we know that people don't think logically. There's no rational thought going on here. All that's happening is that somebody's saying something, I don't like her. The woman's a disaster. That's what he really believed. It bumped his ratings up, it bumped hers, and it knocked everybody else down.
Did it bump hers because people remembered the name?
Yeah.
It was like they went somewhere and they're like, do you know this person? And had they would have never heard Donald talk about her.
Imagine that you're Christian, right?
Yep.
Okay, so imagine that somebody comes up and says, you know, I just don't like Christians. I hate them. In fact, they drive me crazy. And you're feeling inside this, wait a second, we're pretty cool, you know? And you get this rebellion against this person's opinion because they haven't said anything about you. but you identify yourself as being a Christian.
Right? My group.
Right.
My people.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So this person has criticized somebody that you identify with, that's identified with. When you do that, there's people that are going to be really frustrated when they hear that, and they're going to go, well, I don't like you so much, dude. You look what you just said. And we're going to move our vote over to here then. And that's what happened in that situation. Same thing happens in business every single day. People say, oh, I don't like the Samsung. And why? I went out and bought two of them. Mm-hmm. I got two of them sitting in my house for when I get back home.
You're going to love them, by the way.
Okay, thanks. So, but after having an iPhone and really enjoying it, I'm like, well, I got to try Samsung and see if I like it. You know, yeah. The Galaxy. So I wanted to test it. And I wouldn't have bought it had other people not said the iPhone was so amazing. Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. And then I look at the Samsung, and I go, gosh, that's $753. That's more expensive than the iPhone. So I thought, if the iPhone is amazing and it's $680, then maybe this really is 10% better. Maybe I'll never buy a Galaxy Droid again. But I'm going to find out, and I'll report back.
Let me know. So, Kevin, where can people find you?
KevinHogan.com online. Coffee with Kevin Hogan is our e-zine every week. Or go to Kevin Hogan Channel on YouTube.
Yeah, that is a good place to go.
Yeah, thank you. Kevin. So is your web channel, by the way. I love it.
Thank you.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the How to Sell Show. You can join the party at howtosell.live to get the show notes, links, updates on new episodes, recordings of previous episodes, articles, as well as videos. You may not know this sales secret, but sharing this episode with a friend will bring you good luck. See you soon. Mahalo.